Anything from that experiment?
When you learn to be detached, how do you relate to everybody else?
When you learn to be what?
Detached, how do you relate to everyone else?
With wisdom and compassion. So the question is, when you learn to be detached, detached isn't quite the right word, but how about just say aware, understanding, not entangled, okay? Then how do you relate to everybody else? With wisdom and compassion.
Is that the definition of a loner, though? A loner?
You mean someone who's not entangled is a loner?
Well, I'm just wondering if that just leads to isolation.
Not isolation. No. It does lead to one being, I think it leads to one being very, not just self-reliant, but self-knowledgeable. And not, their happiness doesn't depend on someone else behaving, performing, you know, kind of massaging them in some way to, for them to be happy. So the relationship is one of serving, offering, rather than demanding, expecting. So you can stay engaged with lots of people and offer what you can out of genuine generosity, understanding, compassion, and not out of expectation, obligation, commitment, you know, and stay engaged with lots of people. I mean, there's no limit to how many people you can relate to without expectation. Now, does that mean that you can't have a domestic partner that you're really attached to and you like to suffer with and cause suffering to and stuff like that? Well, that's just one view. I know there are others. Erase that part. I think until we actually understand for ourselves what the direction of freedom or liberation from your own entanglement is. I mean, we're entangled with ourselves, our own expectations, our own demands, our own, you know, insufficiencies, our own dysfunctionalities. You know, it's not because of someone else, it's ourself. You know, if we're not happy, it's not because of the other person. It's our own lack of understanding or assumptions and, you know, mistaken beliefs and expectations, our conditioning. And it takes a while to see through conditioning, that kind of conditioning. So it's not like either or, it's this way, and there's a long journey to transformation. But the more understanding we have, the more self-knowledge we have, the more self-awareness we have, and the less, you know, the less deluded we are, the less we expect people to, you know, satisfy us in whatever ways that we expect. And instead, we can be a lot more content with the way things are. Not that we're a doormat to people's abuse. That's not wisdom. But that we, you know, have more awareness in our relationships and hopefully don't cause ourselves or others harm by what we say, what we do, what we don't say, what we don't do. And I am not the poster boy for, you know, kind of suffering less relationships. You know, I see where it's coming from, and I think all of us that have been practicing for a while see that the challenge is really, you know, sitting with your eyes closed and feeling at ease is one thing, you know, being in the thick of it is, and being understanding and patient is another thing. You know, the practice, you know, the rubber has to hit the road somewhere, you know, and usually it's at home, right? I mean, that's what the way it seems to be. But it's not, I don't see, yes, I think that, you know, I, you know, from experience, I do prefer a lot of time alone, less entangled. But then I spend a lot of time with a lot of people too, you know. So, you know, am I a loner? Yeah, I'm a loner, and I'm a social, gregarious loner. Now, you know, is it introvert, extrovert? Yeah, I like attending to the inner life, and I like sharing with others. So I wouldn't say that we get detached. Maybe detached in the way of not suffering, disentangled, maybe. That sounds, you know, true, right? The direction that we go. But, you know, life has lots of opportunities to work with. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Is it like, so, okay, I'm suffering. I'm going to sit with it. This is how it feels. And go there. Is that sounds, you know, like the psychology of it, but I'm just asking.
Well, there's a certain amount of, you know, there's a certain amount of map reading involved in understanding what this journey of awakening is. And so there is some intellectual or academic or didactic or, you know, conceptual framework for this journey of awakening from suffering to less suffering, let's say. And then you actually have to walk the path of awakening. You have to actually develop the qualities of an awakening heart and deal with and confront the sources of your suffering, your kinds of suffering, the sources of your suffering, which includes, you know, carelessness, you know, restlessness, anxiety, and then understanding, the deepest kind of understanding. And liberation does not happen from reading a book. Liberation happens from understanding your mind. And when you understand your mind, then, and the causes and conditions for suffering, and you can let go, and you learn to let go, then you can suffer less. But it's not, you know, accumulating a lot of knowledge from books. Oh yeah.
Entangled,
oh yeah.
For example, and you're looking at whether it's delusion, greed, or aversion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you look at the first noble truth the Buddha talked about is the truth of dukkha. There's pain in life. There's insecurity in life. There's vulnerability in life. There's oppressive conditions in life. There's this endless cycle of the treadmill of getting, having, becoming. You know, everything that we want that doesn't seem to ever end in life. Right? Pain, vulnerability, entanglement, suffering, oppression, the endless treadmill of taking care of yourself and all of your dependents. Whew, it's tiring just to think about it, right? Okay, so there's suffering. And then when you see that, when you see whatever part of your life is suffering and you work with it, to, you know, bring some understanding, bring some change of behavior, bring some change of expectations and all that, then you suffer less. And you suffer less because you're not that you're getting rid of suffering so much as you understand suffering. Because you don't get rid of suffering. You know, even the Buddha, when he was totally free of causing himself distress and suffering, he still experienced dukkha. This is the truth. You know, he still had a body that got old, got sick, died. And he still had all kinds of people attacking him, blaming him, you know, trying to, you know, kill him and trying to destroy his sangha. He just had to deal with all kinds of hassles throughout his life, but he didn't suffer. He had the understanding. He understood dukkha, but he wasn't suffering dukkha. So the direction of practice is we suffer, with practice we understand, and then understanding dukkha is not the same thing as experiencing dukkha. Experiencing dukkha is dukkha. understanding dukkha is liberating. You want to take the journey? Yeah, I'll take a ticket for the first mile. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. But you know, the growth in understanding of the Dharma can only happen slowly. You know, you can read all the books you want, but you don't understand anything. I mean, you understand the books, but you don't understand yourself. And so the journey of awakening with our own body, our own mind, our own conditioning, our own assumptions, beliefs, confusions, delusions, you know, our own tendency to aversion, tendency to desire, tendency to delusion. We got to work with that stuff. And as we work with it, then we move along the journey. We awaken a little bit by bit. It's not like, I remember when I was first practicing with Sayadaw Pandita. Sayadaw Pandita was a monk that I practiced with for many years. And very demanding, very warrior type of practice, real spirit that way. And, you know, when I first started practicing with him, I'd been practicing for about 8 years. I'd been doing retreats, you know, week-long retreats, stuff like that, for about 8 years. And I didn't know diddly about the path of awakening. I just liked to sit quietly, you know, try to be mindful. And I wasn't very good at it, and I didn't know much else. But I was practicing with him, and he was giving these talks about all kinds of stuff. And I said to him, I said, you know, he asked me one time, well, what do you think this journey of awakening or path of awakening is? And I said, well, I don't know. I think you just sit here with trying to be mindful, and then one day, poof, then you got it. And he just burst out laughing, like, you got to be kidding. And I said, well, I don't know. I guess that's how it happens. He said, no, that's not how it happens. It's like step by step, you kind of confront your suffering, work with it, come to some understanding, make adjustments, reprioritize your life, and kind of go on. But as we grow in understanding of the way it is, the way we suffer and the way we don't suffer, as we grow in understanding, then, you know, our priorities in life are going to change. You know, and if we have different priorities, then we're going to make different decisions, and we're going to spend our time differently, and we're going to practice more, and, you know, eventually we're going to see that we're doing better in life. We have a sense of well-being, even in the face of, well, you know, inevitable change and dukkha, and we just have a more enduring sense of well-being. It's not dependent on the pleasantness of our present moment experience. You know, learning how to tolerate the unpleasantness and the pains of life is maturing. It's very maturing. It's very adult of us to accept the fact that there's pain in life, you know, and to not whinge and whine and blame and complain and wish it was otherwise and think there's something wrong with us. This is normal to experience pain. I don't want to say get over it, but through practice, we get over our whinging, whining, complaining, and expecting, hoping it's otherwise. That's because we're growing up. We're maturing. We're maturing in our understanding of this is the way it is. That's the Dharma. The way it is the Dharma. You know, we don't have to just kind of feel like, oh, poor me, self-pity. It's like, oh, yay me. I'm stopping suffering a little bit. Or I'm accepting it, just learning how to. That's why earlier in the day I said, you know, if we can allow ourselves to feel into these suffering states, really feel in our heart what it feels like, and feel in our body what it feels like, we can feel into these suffering states of loss, loneliness, fear, anxiety, frustration, depression, self-pity. If we can allow ourselves to feel that, feel them, just really see what they are, understand their conditions, and see that they don't last very long, then we're free. We're free of them. We're free of the entanglement of self-pity. We're free of the entanglement in fear. Free of the entanglement in depression. That's it. When you stop suffering like that, life is pretty good. Yeah, you still have to read the news and deal with that, but, you know, you just don't take it personally. Anything else? Well, we've covered a lot today. You know, we've really chewed on a lot of Dharma here and done some good practice. And some of you will be back tomorrow. We'll do some more tomorrow. There's more. We haven't exhausted the possibilities. We got a lot, you know. I don't want to save it all for the second day. You might not be here. You know, you never know. We never know. We never know whether we're going to make it to tomorrow or not. Right? So, we take advantage of the Dharma when we have it and do what we can. And if we have time tomorrow, we'll do some more. So, in the intervening time, don't lose your mind. Meaning, don't forget to pay it to monitor your mind. What is your mind doing? You know, is it getting really strung out? Is it getting careless? Is it getting caught up and entangled in things? Or can you actually be with things in an unentangled way and really enjoy that? Yeah. Tomorrow you can tell me how you did. Okay? So are there some announcements or ending the day? Here they come.
I don't know that I really need a mic for this, but...
Here.
I came all the way over here.
Then I can say I used one twice. Please feel free to leave your setup, any personal belongings that you would like here. Everything will be locked up and secure, and it will be waiting for us when we come back in the morning. And is there anyone who needs a ride home this evening? Or maybe would appreciate some help trying to coordinate one. Blanchard and Humboldt heading downtown. Perfect. Thank you very much. Anyone else? All right, then. Thank you all for your participation. Thank you, Steve, and our volunteers. I look forward to seeing you guys in the morning. If you did not sign in on your way, please add a tick mark next to your name on your way out and catch it again in the morning. Thank you.